Hare Krishna. We shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. To save time, I'll just recite the Sanskrit verse. Kiratahunandra pulinda pukasha abirasumba yavana kashadaya. Inye chapapaya tapashraya shraya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Please repeat. Kirata.
Kirata.
A province of old Bharat.
Huna.
Part of Germany and Russia. Andhra, a province of southern India. Pulinda,
the Greeks.
Pulkasha,
another province.
Avira, part of old Sindh. Shumba, another province. Yavana,
the Turks.
Kasha Adaya,
the Mongolian province.
Yay,
even those.
Anye,
others.
Cha,
also.
Papa,
addicted to sinful acts.
Yet, whose?
Apashrayashraya,
having taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Shudyanti,
at once purified.
Tasmai,
unto him.
Prabhavishnave, the powerful Vishnu.
Namaha,
my respectful obeisances. Translation. Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abira, Shumba, Yavana, members of the Khasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord, due to the Lord's being the supreme power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kirata, a province of old Bharatvarsha, mentioned in the Bhishma Parva of Mahabharata. Generally, the Kiratas are known as the aboriginal tribes of India. Huna, the area of East Germany and part of Russia is known as the province of the Hunas.
Andhra, a province in southern India, still extant under the same name. Pulinda. This country was conquered by Bhimasen and Sahadev. The Greeks are known as Pulindas, and it is mentioned in the Mahabharata that the non-Vedic race of this part of the world would rule over the world. The Pulinda province was also one of the provinces of Bharat, and the inhabitants were classified among the Kshatriya kings. But later on, due to their giving up the Brahminical culture, they were mentioned as Mlechas. Adira. Sindh. Prabhupada explains the different categories. The Khasas are the Mongolians and the Chinese and others who are so designated. The above mentioned historical names are different nations of the world. Even those who are constantly engaged in sinful acts are all corrigible to the standard of perfect human beings if they take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. Jesus Christ and Muhammad, two powerful devotees of the Lord, have done tremendous service on behalf of the Lord on the surface of the globe. And from the version of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, it appears that instead of running a godless civilization in the present context of the world situation, if the leadership of world affairs is entrusted to the devotees of the Lord, for which a worldwide organization under the name and style of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has already been created, then by the grace of the Almighty Lord, there can be a thorough change of heart in human beings all over the world, because the devotees of the Lord are able authorities to effect such a change by purifying the dust-worn minds of the people in general. The politicians of the world may remain in their respective positions because the devotees of the Lord are not interested in political leadership or diplomatic implications. The devotees are interested only in seeing that the people in general are not misguided by political propaganda, and in seeing that the valuable life of a human being is not spoiled, in following a type of civilization which is ultimately doomed. If the politicians, therefore, would be guided by the good counsel of the devotees, then certainly there would be a great change in the world situation by the purifying propaganda of the devotees, as shown by Lord Chaitanya. As Shukadeva Goswami began his prayers by discussing the word yat kirtanam, so also Lord Chaitanya recommended that simply by glorifying the Lord's holy name, a tremendous change of heart can take place, by which the complete understanding between the human nations, between the human nations created by politicians can at once be extinguished. And after the extinction of the fire of misunderstanding, other prophets will follow. The destination is to go back home, back to Godhead, as we have several times discussed in these
pages. According to the cult of devotion, generally known, well, I'll stop here, it's a wrong purport. Every year, over the Memorial Day festival, over the Memorial Day weekend, there is a Prabhupada festival in Los Angeles. The first time His Holiness Nidumi Swami invited me to the Sadhu Sangha retreat, he wrote me and asked if I had any other commitments over the Memorial Day weekend. And then he wrote, "And if you do, I hope you can change them." So I understood that he's very intent. And I surrendered. And I'm glad I did. But one year when I went to the Prabhupada Festival in Los Angeles, Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, Pradumya, was there as a special guest. And afterwards, he came and spent a couple of days with me in Santa Barbara. And Pradumya Prabhu has really studied the Vedic literature and the writings of the previous acharyas. And I found him to be very objective in his appraisal of the different works, the different acharyas. And he said something very striking about Srila Prabhupada. In contrast to everyone else he had read, and that is that Srila Prabhupada took the same principles of the Vedic literatures and the previous acharyas that are generally taken to be for one's personal spiritual advancement and deliverance, and applied them on the scale of the whole world. If you were listening attentively to the purport, you would have perceived that Srila Prabhupada was indirectly referring to the first verse of the Shikshastaka, Chaito Darpanam Arjunam, especially the first two items, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. And we recite these verses every morning, many of our temples. And we think, yes, by chanting the holy name, the dust from the mirror of my mind will be cleansed, and the blazing fire of material existence that is burning me will be extinguished. But here Srila Prabhupada, and this purport really, it's true of Prabhupada's books and purports, it really shows his inner mood. Although it's written in a sort of objective third-person voice, Srila Prabhupada is really telling us what's going on inside of him. And he's thinking that the whole world is in this blazing fire of material existence, which is manifest as conflict. Of course, it's there within families, within societies, within nations, between nations.
And he's saying that if the leaders of the world would take guidance from the devotees of the Lord, then the whole world situation could change. And according to Pradyumna, this is revolutionary. To think in terms of changing the whole world from top to bottom, reforming the whole world. And wouldn't that be nice if that happened? And Srila Prabhupada said that there's already an organization called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness that has been started for this purpose, to give guidance to the world leaders. Now, coming to us, and I can't say for sure, but many of us come in the categories mentioned in the verse, either by geographical name, or even if our country of birth was not mentioned, we would probably come in the category of others addicted to sinful acts. And what Srila Prabhupada did for us, well, he explains it himself, and that too is revolutionary. According to the cult of devotion, generally known as the Vaishnav cult, there is no bar against anyone's advancing in the matter of God realization. A Vaishnav is powerful enough to turn into a Vaishnav even the Kiratas, etc., as above mentioned. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, it is said by the Lord that there is no bar to becoming a devotee of the Lord, even for those who are low-born. And by becoming a devotee, everyone is eligible to return home back to Godhead. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, who has thorough knowledge of the transcendental science of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very important point, my dear devotees. The only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, who has thorough knowledge of the transcendental science of Krishna. One year, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, at the time he was the GBC for India, and I was the temple president in Bombay. And Srila Prabhupada spent a lot of time in India, and especially in Bombay then. Tamal Krishna Goswami had a hernia, and he arranged to go for an operation in Jasloka Hospital, which was the best hospital in Bombay at the time. And he was already admitted in the hospital when Srila Prabhupada found out, and he wanted to stop the operation because he didn't have faith in the Indian doctors. And in those days, it was very difficult to get a telephone.
When we first came to India, Srila Prabhupada told us that to get a telephone, you have to know some minister and bribe him. Otherwise, it takes years. Later, when Srila Prabhupada came to America, he found how easy it was to get a telephone. You just place the order, and they come and install it. So he had a telephone in New York City. And his disciples, very new to Krishna consciousness, as he describes it, they would phone him at midnight and inquire, "Swamiji, how are you feeling?" And as Prabhupada tells it, he would reply, "Is this the time to inquire how I am doing?" And after a few days, he decided to, and told the devotees, "Get out this thing." So that was... So in India, we may not have had a telephone at that stage, but even if we did, it probably didn't work. Or even if it worked, and we got through to the hospital, we couldn't get through to Tamal Krishna Goswami. But I think we never got through to the hospital. But Srila Prabhupada was so concerned, he decided to drive all the way from Juhu to central Bombay to try to stop the surgery. And at that time, we had just gotten our first vehicles, and they were jeeps with a canvas type of covering, very primitive. And, you know, we rode down to the hospital, and it was too late. The operation had already been performed, and they were wheeling Tamal Krishna Goswami out of the operation theater, the recovery room. And he was just coming out of the effects of the anesthesia. And he opened his eyes, and there he saw Srila Prabhupada. And he told Srila Prabhupada that, "I just had a dream. And in this dream, you were reporting to the previous acharyas about your work on planet Earth." You know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, many of the previous acharyas. And you were telling them that the people on planet Earth have no good qualities. They have no spiritual culture. They have no knowledge. They have no background in pious activities. They have no good qualities, no qualification for spiritual life. But they do have one qualification, and that is, whatever I tell them, they do. And that is enough. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is saying in this purport. And it was proven true in his practical activities. Yes, the only qualification is that one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people, and may reclaim them by purification of heart. So what Srila Prabhupada is saying in the next sentence, which I just read, is that after one takes shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord, he can be trained in the same way to become a pure devotee, and he in turn can deliver people from any part of the world. And that is also, well, that's happening right here. I'll read that again. Anyone from any part of the world who becomes well conversant in the science of Krishna becomes a pure devotee and a spiritual master for the general mass of people and may reclaim them by purification of the heart, which is effected through primarily Sankirtan. Though a person be even the most sinful man, he can at once be purified by systematic contact with a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava, therefore, can accept a bona fide disciple from any part of the world without any consideration of caste and creed and promote him by regulative principles to the status of a pure Vaishnava who is transcendental to Brahminical culture. This stance of Srila Prabhupada's was also revolutionary. His spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had considered that because a Vaishnava is transcendental, an actual Vaishnava, he surpasses the position of a Brahma. But so that people do not misunderstand his position as being less than that of a Brahman, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta awarded people who were not born in Brahminical families with the sacred thread. And that was quite radical. But what Srila Prabhupada did went way beyond that. He offered it to people who are not even born in India. And the caste Brahmins in India, some of them were very upset. In fact, a group of them in Hyderabad approached Srila Prabhupada and said, "You are doing the greatest disservice to the Vedic culture by giving the sacred thread to these Mlechas and Yavanas." When we first went to Madras, our host, he was a so-called orthodox. He was actually a nice person. I mean, he did take very good care of us. But he did have some very orthodox or so-called orthodox ideas. And his idea was that we are Vaishnavas. We are more than Brahmins. But we are not Brahmins. We have to take birth again in a Brahmin family to become Brahmins. So at that time there were four of us, and one was Achyutananda Swami, who is now an Alachua. And Achyutananda Prabhu asked him, "What is more powerful, sinful reactions or the holy name of Krishna?" And the man had to concede the holy name of Krishna. Then Achyutananda Swami said, Someone is born as a Brahmin, or whatever he is, as a result of his past pious and sinful activities. But the holy name of Krishna is so powerful it can change all of that immediately. And the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam confirms that those who are engaged in chanting the holy name of the Lord, they've already engaged in all pious activities and done all performances. And they are immediately eligible to offer sacrifices. That means they don't have to wait for another birth to be considered Brahmins. They're immediately eligible. And our host had to agree. He had to agree. But still, it was a very big effort. And it is because of Srila Prabhupada's efforts that we are sitting here today, that we have beautiful deity worship, that we have temples with deities and devotees worshiping deities. We have devotees at home who are worshiping deities. This is all by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And he worked very hard and faced a lot of opposition. But he was not deterred by anything. Yesterday, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami spoke so beautifully about Shraddha and Virya, inner strength. Srila Prabhupada had such inner strength. I mean, nothing could deter him. No amount of opposition. Because he was convinced and he had realization. And there is a parallel between what Srila Prabhupada did and the description of what Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami do. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description of the Chaitanya tree. And in this metaphor, Lord Chaitanya is the tree, and he's also the gardener. And just as any tree has, you know, trunk, limbs, branches, leaves, the Chaitanya tree does too. And Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, we'd say portrays different associates of Lord Chaitanya as branches of the Chaitanya tree. And of course the principal limbs, trunk, or limbs are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya. So, Rupa and Sanatan, in Kaviraj Goswami's description, they are called Sarvottama, the best of all. Although Kaviraj Goswami says you cannot really distinguish who is higher and who is lower. But when he comes to Rupa and Sanatana, he says Sarvottama. They are the best of all. And what does he say about them? He says that they spread Krishna consciousness in the Pascham Desh, in the Western countries. What we know of India today is actually a conglomeration of different provinces or states. Each had different rulers. So, Pascham Desh,
their sarvotama, they delivered people from the paschim desh. And this, of course, calls to mind our pranam mantra to Srila Prabhupada, nirvishesha sanyavadi paschatya deshatarni, that he delivered people from the Western countries, which were filled with impersonalism and voidism. And how does Kaviraj Goswami describe the people in the paschim desh? He says that they are not very well educated, and that they do not have good behavior, which is pretty much the description of the people of the world that Srila Prabhupada gave to the previous acharyas in the dream. And Rupa and Sanatan trained them in bhakti, devotional service, and sadhachara, good behavior. And that is what Srila Prabhupada did all over the world. He's, by analogy, I don't want to be like a fanatic disciple, but Sarvottama. Rupa and Sanatan were called Sarvottama, the best of all, because they delivered people in the Western countries who were not well-behaved or well-educated, and trained them in good behavior and bhakti, which is what Srila Prabhupada did. Some time later, Srila Prabhupada returned to India with some of his disciples, and he was very early. He was invited to a big, sadhu sammelan, a gathering of sadhus, on the sands of Chopati Beach. It's a big program outdoors. And there was a stage. And on the stage were many sadhus, so-called sadhus, and Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada's disciples were behind him. He was very insistent. You know, if you invite me, I come with my disciples. And if you don't accept my disciples, then I'm not coming. Otherwise, there are a lot of sadhus, you know, in saffron dress. And they gave a number of what to us appeared to be long-winded, dry talks of impersonal speculation. And Srila Prabhupada, when his term came, he began with kirtan. And I think it was Mother Malati, and she wanted to get off the stage and go down into the crowd, like, you know, thousands of people. And one of the men devotees said, "No, you can't do that." But anyway, she did it. And, you know, one after the other, everyone followed. And eventually, these thousands of people were chanting and dancing. And it was amazing. Then Srila Prabhupada's turn to speak came. And he said, I don't want to speak much. Meaning, you've already sat through a lot of talks. He said, I don't wish to speak much. But these American boys and girls have all come to
a very high standard of sadhachar, that same word which means good behavior according to scriptural direction. He said they do not eat meat, fish, or eggs. They do not take intoxicants, even coffee, tea, or cigarettes. And he said, which I believe is very rare, even in India. And how have they come to this standard? By Harinam Sankirtan. Harinam Sankirtan cleanses all the dirt from within the heart. And what the people saw, they had never seen before. They had never seen white sadhus. So that in and of itself was amazing. And then on top of it, such enthusiasm for Harinam Sankirtan and Krishna consciousness. Some years later, Mrs. Leelavati Munshi, who was the wife of Kanailal Munshi, had been a governor and a founder of Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan. You might recall that Prabhupada was getting a building in Jhansi. And anyway, we won't get into that, but they made some politics. So now, she was organizing a program at Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan about how all the world's problems can be solved through the Bhagavad Gita. And before the program, she had a tea upstairs for the guests. And the main one was Srila Prabhupada. And she was astonished. She was saying, how did you do it? How did you get them to wear dhoti and kurta and sari? And it's like unimaginable. Unimaginable. And then one of the other sadhus said, Srila Prabhupada, you are the only one who can lead us. You know, they wanted him to like take charge. You are the only one who can lead us. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. But are you prepared to follow? His Holiness Satchinandan Swami has been speaking about the difference between what's in our heart and what comes out of our mouths. And Prabhupada, he knew what was in the heart. Then another man said, Swamiji, I'm also gathering people together, and I am getting them to chant the holy name. And I tell them that if they chant the holy name, all of their physical diseases will be cured. Like I've heard in Christian revival meetings, they, like, if you accept Jesus, you know, someone will be in the audience with crutches. They'll say, if you accept Jesus, you'll be saved. All of your problems will be solved. And then someone, I accept Jesus, I accept Jesus. Okay, throw down your crutches. He's trembling, he throws down his crutches and then he walks. Of course, I've heard a lot of those are staged. But anyway, so this man was saying that. So I'm gathering people and getting them to chant Hare Krishna, and you're gathering people and getting them to chant Hare Krishna. We should cooperate. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. What you are doing is against our principles. The holy name of Krishna is Krishna. And we are servants of Krishna, of the holy name. We do not use the holy name in our service. We don't use the holy name as our order supplier, but rather we take orders from the holy name and we serve the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada had conviction, and he was very straightforward, generally, very straightforward. And so it was a miracle. So many examples, people would say, you know, can you do any miracles? And Prabhupada sometimes would point to his disciples, these are my miracles. The whole thing is a miracle. And but it's up to us to take advantage of Srila Prabhupada's magic. Yeah, Yamuna Devi would often talk about the Krishna magic. So it's up to us to take advantage of the magic. And we just have to open ourselves. And Prabhupada, the Parampara, Gaur Nitai, the Vaishnavas, the Holy Name, they do everything. Once His Holiness Indradumna Swami made a little point that, I think it was a lifeguard, you know, someone at the beach who, you know, keeps an eye on the swimmers, and if someone's in trouble, they go out and bring the swimmer back to safety. And he made the point that when someone's in the ocean drowning, and the lifeguard comes to save the person, they're in such a panicked state that they often fight the lifeguard. So the lifeguards are taught to sort of swim around behind the person, grab the person from behind, and then drag the person to shore, to safety. So it's like that. Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, the Holy Name, Gaur Nitai, they're all working to deliver us. And sometimes we're our own worst enemies. We fight it. They're trying to save us. All we have to do is cooperate, and they'll carry us across to safety out of this ocean. We just have to cooperate. We just have to let go of our false egos and all the rest of the stuff. And just let them carry us along. And the Sadhu Sangha retreat is meant for that. So many sincere devotees, pure devotees, so much chanting of the holy name, hearing of Krishna Katha. We just have to sort of surrender to the process and let the process and the superior authorities, they're so kind, they're so merciful, they will carry us all the way back home. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.